भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 80th chapter, Sudama visits Lord Krishna, text number 4 through 7, and on the board is text 4. Shiras tu tasyobhaya lingam anamit tad eva Yat pashyati tat dhi chakshuhu angani vishnor atha tachchananam padodakam yani bhajanti nityam Shirastu tasyo bayalingam anamet Tad eva yat pashyati taddi chakshuhu Angani vishnorata tachchananam Patodakam yani bhajanti nityam Shirastu tasyo bayalingam anamet Tadeva yat pashyati taddi chakshuhu Angani vishnorata tachjananam Padodakam yani bhajanti nityam Ladies, Shiraha, head, to, end, tasya, of him, ubhaya, both, lingam, to the manifestations, anamit, bows down, tat, that, eva, only, yat, which, pashyati, sees, tat, that, he, indeed, chakshuhu, I, angani, limbs, vishnuho, of Lord Vishnu, atha, or, tat, his, jananam, of the devotees, pada udakam, The water which has washed the feet, yani, which, bhajanti, honor, nityam, regularly, Translation. An actual head is one that bows down to the Lord in His manifestations among the moving and non-moving creatures. Real eyes are those that see only the Lord. And actual limbs are those which regularly honor the water that has bathed the Lord's feet or those of His devotees. Text 5. Suta Goswami said, thus questioned by King Vishnurata, the powerful sage Badarayani replied, his heart fully absorbed in meditation on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudev. Sugadeva Goswami said, Lord Krishna had a certain Brahman friend named Sudama, who was most learned in Vedic knowledge and detached from all sense enjoyment. Furthermore, his mind was peaceful and his senses subdued. Living as a householder, he maintained himself with whatever came of its own accord. The wife of that poorly dressed Brahmin suffered along with him and was emaciated from hunger. Purport. Sudama's chaste wife was also poorly dressed, and whatever food she obtained, she gave to her husband. Thus she remained fatigued from hunger. Om Agyanati Marandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kedamayam Dadhati Svapadantikam Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripadam Maham Vande Sri Guru Dinotaranam Paramananda Madhavam Sri Chaitanyeshwaram Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasundubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Hare Krishna. So the blessings of all the Vaishnavas. We are entering the story of Sudama. Sudama Brahman has been a schoolmate of Krishna. This is just a short preview because the story is just about to begin. So the personalities are being introduced. But before we get to Sudama, King Parikshit, he is speaking to Sugadeva Goswami about what is actual substance. He's talking about that an actual head is one that bows down before the Lord in His manifestations amongst the moving and non-moving creatures. In a similar way, Ambarish Maharaj is praying, Savaimana Krishna Padaravindayor Vachansi Vaikunta Gunanuvarnane Karauharer Mandira Marjanadishu Shrutim Chakarachyuta Satkatodaye Mukundalingale Adarshane Drishautat Britya Gatra Sparshanenga Sangamam Granam Chatapada Sajoda Saurabe Srimatulasyara Sanam Tadarpite Padauhare Kshetra Padanu Sarpane Kshiror Shikesha Padabi Vandane Kamam Chatasye Natukama Kamyaya Yaduttama Shloka Janasharya Rati. Maharaj Ambarish, who was a pure devotee in Mahabhagavat, his mind was always engaged in meditating upon the lotus feet of the Lord. His legs were taking him to the Lord's temple and holy places. His eyes were seeing the beautiful deity form of the Lord. His head was bowing down in front of the Lord. He was hearing from the Lord and about the Lord's transcendental pastime. And he would taste the prasad of the Lord and smell the tulsi leaves that had been offered to the Lord's lotus feet. And his body was touching the other bodies of devotees of the Lord. In this way, all of his senses were continuously absorbed in devotional service of the Lord. In this way, he was completely free from any material attachment and always absorbed in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the Mahajans are showing us how we can actually use our head. Oftentimes people, they ask, yeah, I like this philosophy, but why do you have to bow down? Have you ever heard this? Like, I don't bow down to anyone, right? I don't like bowing down. I don't do this. Of course, here in this culture, it's more common because there's a culture there, actually a culture of respect. So people are used to showing respect to their elders. But nowadays, we can see that also that culture is slowly becoming eroded and evaporated, and people are not that respectful. You can walk around and people walk right into you and they bump you with handbags and elbows and not even noticing, not even paying attention. What to speak of being respectful? But our Krishna conscious, this Vaishnava culture is a culture of respect. So we're bowing down not only to the Lord in His deity form, but also to the Lord within the heart of every living entity. Ishvara sarva bhutanam riddhesher junatishtati. The Lord is present in the heart of every creature. And not only in the moving, also in the non-moving. The devotee sees Krishna is present in all things and in all personalities. Tavara jangama. That verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Stavara jangama deke na deke taramurti. Sarvatra haya nija ishta deva spurti. That the Mahabhagavat sees the Lord in the movable and unmovable things. So to develop that type of vision, that type of meditation is very advantageous for a devotee. Because when we see the Lord everywhere, we will naturally be respectful. Because it's my Lord. It's not just an object. It's not just somebody or someone. Can we move this? Thank you. So, even though the Lord is present in this verse board, but the Lord is present personally in His deity form. So we like to see the Lord in His deity form. At the same time, we still respect the Lord in all His different manifestations, in all His different representations. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna gives many different vibhutis. He tells Arjuna about His different manifestations. Rasoham apsukaunteya. Krishna says, I am the taste of water. Water is a very precious substance. Formerly, wars were fought about so many different commodities. Nowadays, wars are fought about oil. Tomorrow's wars are fought about water. We just come from a big desert called Israel, where people have been fighting for forever. For whatever reasons. But the wars that are happening nowadays are not so much ideological issues. They're more wars about water. And you will notice that if you go to the Dead Sea, if you happen to go there, go fast because the Dead Sea won't be there very long. It's already dead, but it will be gone in pretty short time because there's simply no more water. And without water, there is no life. So Krishna says, I am the taste of that water. Whenever you drink water and you remember, this is Krishna. This is Krishna's taste. And without this taste, there is no taste. There is no life. There is no sense of perception if there is no water. The devotees are very eager to taste the nectar of Srimad Bhagavatam. Maharaj Parikshit was fasting from ordinary food and drink, but he was taking this ambrosial nectar of Srimad Bhagavatam. Thus he was feeling very much enlivened. This is the end of 10th canto. Probably around day number 5 or day number 6 of Maharaj Parikshit's fast. But he is feeling rejuvenated, enlivened by hearing these wonderful topics of the Lord. So what is he asking, Sukadeva Goswami? When is breakfast? Or when is this finally over? No. He's saying, can you tell me something more about Krishna? Like you've already... This is chapter 80. He has already given him quite a lot of different topics about Lord Krishna. But Maharaj Parikshit says, I want to hear more. Please tell me more about Krishna and about Krishna's devotees. So Shukadeva Goswami is beginning to narrate the story of Sudama Brahmana, who is a very dear class friend of Lord Krishna. And as we will hear in the future days to come, had a very intimate relationship with the Lord. Very confidential. And he was such a pure devotee that he did not want to ask the Lord for anything. When Krishna noticed his poor appearance and his torn cloth, Krishna noticed it. And Sudama became very anxious and very worried at his heart that, oh no, now Krishna is noticing my dejected state of appearance. So, most likely he will supply me with cloth. But this will spoil, this will ruin our relationship of friendship. Because he will act like a king, giving charity to some poor Brahmin. And thus it will ruin our intimacy, our real confidential ras. But Krishna is in the heart of every living entity. Krishna knows, and Krishna did not want to embarrass Sudama by giving him charity. Therefore, he did not apparently reciprocate by giving him anything. Of course, Sudama did not ask. But you can ask without asking. Like sometimes people show up at your doorstep or in front of your house on the street and they play some drum or some music. And without asking, they're asking. Right? Like in India, you notice culture that you ask without asking. Right? But you can also give without giving. That's also possible. And Krishna showed how to do this perfectly. He did not give Sudama to embarrass him and to lessen their friendship and their relationship. But he gave him not at the office, but he gave him at home. So when Sudama got home, beyond his expectations already, Krishna had given him. One of Krishna's names is Vanchatita, one who exceeds the devotee's expectations. Sometimes we have expectations. Does it ever happen to you that you have expectations? Like you think 3 doklas is not enough. I need 5 doklas, right? Because I'm a good Jew. And I really love dokla, right? So 3 doklas is just what everybody gets. But I'm not everybody, right? I need more. So we have expectations. But Krishna, he's Vanchatita. He's exceeding our expectations. Personally speaking, Krishna has exceeded all my expectations. Beyond my wildest imagination. And I'm very excited, I'm very thrilled, and I'm very apprehensive to look into my heart and see what expectations are still there. And what do I still have to experience? Because Krishna is not only fulfilling the expectations, Krishna is exceeding our expectations. Getting back to the desert, we visited Jerusalem, which is a holy city of great importance to 3 world religions, Judaism, Christianity, and the Islamic tradition. Do you know what the name Jerusalem means? City of peace. And this is not a joke. It's the city of peace. Now, Jerusalem has been completely destroyed twice. It has been besieged, conquered and reconquered dozens of times by different empires. And I have never seen in one city of the world so many walls, so much barbed wires, and so many soldiers armed with the latest M16 machine guns. It's quite astounding. And in the most sacred church where Christ was crucified and ascended to heaven according to their tradition, to their information, they have to share that church amongst four denominations. So the service is being held in four different languages, which are all ancient languages. And they're not allowed to change a single thing since hundreds of years, because there is status quo. So they cannot change anything, which means that the services are still being held in Latin, in Aramaic, in Greek, in the ancient languages. How many of you would benefit if this class would be given in Sanskrit? We have one honest... one. And for the rest, we would have Kirtan and Prasad. And that would be wonderful. But it's important that we understand the Siddhanta. It's important that we understand the imports, the meanings of the scripture. Otherwise, we'll be get caught up in the rituals. And we will lose track of the actual spirit, the actual meaning of the text. Just a bit before that, we went to China and we walked the Great Wall. And according to Chairman Mao, we became a hero because we climbed the Great Wall. It took more than 2,000 years to build that wall. And it's longer than 2,000 kilometers. And if you're interested in history, you will find out pretty fast that just like Jerusalem, every single empire and dynasty that helped build that wall was conquered and defeated. So, Jerusalem was very difficult to conquer. Because, even though it was very strategically positioned and it had a good wall, periodically the Egyptians, the Canaanites, the Babylonians, the Persians, the Huns, all different dynasties came and attacked and besieged Jerusalem. But for years and years on end, it could not be conquered. Why? Because they had water. They had water within the city. They captured some streams and had underground cisterns, water tanks, that were beyond the view of the outside world. And that's why they could sustain themselves, because of the water and the provisions. So if we want to sustain ourselves in this desert of the material world of Krishna's creation, we need Krishna's mercy in the form of this ambrosial nectar of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam Purana Mamalam Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam. It is the spotless Purana, and thus it is very dear to the Vaishnavas. We know that there are 81 commentaries on the Bhagavatam, major commentaries. And the next one is Shiva Purana, which has 17 commentaries. So that shows you, gives you kind of an idea of the importance of Srimad Bhagavatam. 81 commentaries, and the next Purana, 17 commentaries. We'll speak more about the ambrosial nectar of Krishna's holy name and his pastimes and his activities, which are depicted in Srimad Bhagavatam. Shravanadi Jal. When we daily hear this nectar of Krishna consciousness, we'll always be nourished and our plant of bhakti will grow very exuberantly, very luxuriously. Israel is one of the greatest innovators in the field of irrigation technology. We have been to Kolhapur and we've been quite impressed by their ability of turning that desert-like area into the biggest growing region for pomegranates and grapes in India. But if you happen to go to Israel, you'll be surprised that in the desert, right next to the Dead Sea, where the soil is salty, it is completely hostile to any type of growth, they're growing crops. They're growing date trees. Have you ever tasted date? Date is very sweet. How can a date tree grow on salty soil in the desert? The answer is again water. A date tree takes more than 1,000 liters of water a day. That's 1 ton of water. Or 1 cubic meter. for those of you who are engineers and you're interested in this, is a lot of water. It's a lot of water. So we are all living in the desert of the material world. These cities are like concrete jungles and they're heating up, especially this time of the year. And we're feeling a little hot and a little exasperated. But if we irrigate ourselves, they do it by putting these irrigation pipes around the trees and having a drip system of continuous flow of water. If we put irrigation system around ourselves by surrounding ourselves with constant Krishna katha, daily hearing and chanting about Krishna, then we can survive, even in the desert, even on salty soil. Now we may build so many walls and put so many barbed wires. If there is no cross-pollination, the date tree will turn useless. If it doesn't get any pollen, if it doesn't get pollinated, then they will be only female dates. And they will have no pits, and they will become smaller and weak and sick, and then no more crop. So it's important that we also enrich ourselves by the association of devotees of all walks, of all different types. Like here we're hearing about Sudama Brahman. Now Sudama Brahman was not a famous, a wealthy, a well-known person, because he was, materially speaking, a nobody. He was poor. He lived a very meager life, just happily being engaged in his own bhajan. But for us, Sudama is a hero, and he is a great saintly person with whom we like to associate. So by reading Srimad Bhagavatam, we hear about personalities like Sudama Brahman. Now here, Maharaj Parikshit is stating that only limbs which regularly honor the water that has bathed the Lord's lotus feet or those of his devotees, only such limbs are actually real. By coming to the temple of Krishna and being sprinkled of the water that has been offered to the Lord, we receive this favor, we receive this blessing. We know that Kalidas got the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because he had great faith in the remnants of the devotees. That's why when Lord Chaitanya bathed his feet before entering the Jagannath temple, he told Govinda, no one is allowed to touch that water. But because Kalidas had so much faith in the remnants of devotees, he allowed Kalidas to drink 3 palmfuls of that water that had washed his feet. Sudama was most learned in the Vedic knowledge. He studied the Vedic scriptures, not only in the school of Sandipani Muni, but throughout his life. And he shared this knowledge freely with all the people that he met. Yajan yajan patan patan dana pratigaha. The 6 types of activities of a Brahmin are to study and to teach, to engage in sacrifice, and to help others engage in sacrifice, and to accept and give charity. If we want to know what type of varna, what type of occupation, what type of caste am I, we can just examine our own activities. What are my activities? What am I engaged in? And then we can see what is our nature. It's an interesting one. Never heard that one before. So what are some of the concluding points? Don't build walls. Don't invest money into walls and systems of defense, because they will be futile. They will be conquered. The enemy is within. The enemy is not outside. The enemy is the uncontrolled mind and senses. When you go over the borders, they always ask you, do you have any fruit or any plants or soil, any vegetables to declare? And of course the devotees carry prasadam, But they say, no. We don't have any ordinary plant or soil or food, right? We only carry the Lord's prashadam. They're afraid of a virus which can ruin their crop. The idea virus of bhakti has been spread through the potency of Srimad Bhagavatam and of the books of Srila Prabhupada. And it is going all around the world. And it is infecting people of all walks of life. We had the royal VIP tour of Jerusalem by a group of Russian Jews who have been living there for decades, who are vegetarian, and who are studying Srila Prabhupada's books. And at the end of our grand tour of Jerusalem, including the National Museum, the leader of that group, his main interest, his main question was, would you like to know? He had studied anthropology, history, speaks more than half a dozen languages, knows about the world religions, been brought up in several of them. His main question, his main concern was, what does it take to get initiation in ISKCON? And I asked him, you know, after a whole day of exploring the traditions and the history and the culture and the religions, why that question? He said, I know so many languages and I'm learning Sanskrit now. It is evident, it is obvious that ISKCON is the living tradition which can give us the highest gift of love of Godhead. So I want to know, what does it take to get that? That was his conclusion. So it was worth it walking all around Jerusalem. It's a long walk to hear that. This idea virus is spread by the publication and distribution of Srila Prabhupada's books. But a living tradition is not only contained in books or in monuments, but it has to be taught by teachers who are imbibing the tenets of the tradition. Just like yesterday was the appearance of Sriman Ramanujacharya, the 999th appearance. Next year will be the 1,000th appearance of Ramanujacharya. Now, whenever you travel in India, have you ever noticed how many temples have pujaris from the Sri Sampradaya? It's quite astounding, isn't it? So you can see there is something that's vibrant. There's something that's alive because they've kept their tradition somewhat intact. So slowly we're also starting with putting more emphasis on education instead of investing into defense. We're investing more into education, which is a very good thing. Both the palm tree, the cactus tree, and the rose, and also people, have some similarities. They all have some thorns. And if you get close to them, you may get pricked. Have you ever been pricked by people because of their thorny nature? Yeah. In Israel, they have a joke. They say Israelis are like cactus, you know. They're very juicy, very sweet, but if you get close, you have to deal with the thorns. So, titiksha va karunika suridat sarvadehinam. Titiksha, or tolerance, is the first and foremost quality of a brahmana. Shama damas tapa shaucham kshanti rajama mevacha. If we are truly to imbibe this Brahminical culture, we should try to daily cultivate tolerance in the practice of devotional service. And it is not simply a external thing, but it is something very profound, something very inherent to our tradition. Because if tolerance is not there, then we will end up worshipping in one church in four different languages, having different type of rituals, and just waiting till the other one finally stops existing. And that is not a very good situation. So, before we ask for questions and comments, I'd like to show my gratitude and appreciation to all of you for keeping this center here, an oasis, a vibrant center of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. I feel like a small camel who is going from desert to desert and in between passing through an oasis to soaking up some nectar. Fortunately, we have stopped eating thorny twigs some time ago. So our taste for the nectar has increased quite substantially since we have parted with that bad habit. And by the example and by the wonderful inspiration of all of you, we feel blessed and we feel that there is hope. We just came from the desert of Israel and we're heading to the desert of California where there is also no more water. So the material world is a parched place. It's dry, and only the nectar of Krishna Katha and the nectar of the association of Krishna's devotees can help us cross over this ocean, this desert. And all of us are sitting here today because some Vaishnava is dripping nectar on our heads. You may have an irrigation system around your neck, like this is our irrigation color, right? It shows we're being irrigated. We're taking this Shravanadi Jal, this daily hearing and chanting of Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Don't invest into fences and into walls. They will be conquered. Don't be afraid to get cross-pollination from other devotees who think or behave a little different than we do. But cherish unity and diversity and let us work together to keep this tradition alive and to bring it forward into decades and millennia to come. Hare Krishna. Comments or questions?
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you. So, heart reflecting one this morning. My question is, at the end of your presentation, almost the conclusion part, you mentioned that we should not build wall. So, I'm aware that some acharyas say that we need wall for the bhakti to grow. So, if you are advising that wall is not necessary, how will the bhakti grow?
There are different stages of the bhakti creeper. Initially, when your creeper is very young and fresh, the sapling, it's like a newborn baby girl, and it needs a lot of protection and a lot of attention 24/7. But once the plant has grown, and it has caught on the soil, and it is actually giving fruits, and it's meant to sustain, it needs cross-pollination. It needs ideas. It needs exchange also with people who are of a different mindset. Otherwise, it will become a hybrid which has no sustainability, no longevity. Of course, every example, every analogy can only be taken as far as you can take it. But that as far as I want to take this analogy. I think you can reconcile the two between having some boundaries. Obviously, we're not saying from today onwards, no more security, no more boundaries, no more rules. But we also know that viruses are very powerful and they're in books, they're on the web, they're in the air. And once something goes viral, like here, Sudama Brahman is putting out this very revolutionary concept of selfless, pure devotional service, pure bhakti. It's a very revolutionary concept. Once this idea virus gets out and people hear about Sudama, about his joy, his happiness, and his reward in the practice of devotion, they will want to follow his example. Other questions? Any reflections? Thank you very much. All goes to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.